tell me why.
I was seeing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I've seen the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the Christmas Eve. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found the sheep that had gone astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into him. Yes, I've seen the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the Christmas Eve.
Go through some of the prayer that we're going to be dealing with. And first of all, Pat McMillan and Phil, praiseworthy news, no cancer at all. It's all gone. That is just answer to prayer. Amen. Amen. Answer to prayer. And you're doing okay. So that's great. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great.
All right. Didn't hurt you at all. And, you know, in that same family thing, Tish as I told you Sunday, went to the hospital, emergency ward, last Friday night. Great pain, and they didn't know what was going on. Their blood pressure was 200 over 100, and which is dangerous. And then went to the hospital. They couldn't find anything. They had different ideas. And then just this week, she, the other day, had the same pain in her back, and it is excruciating. So she got up, went to the doctor, and had an x-rayed right then when she was in the great pain. And where it stands right now is she has arthritis all across her shoulder. And I know from my mother that arthritis can be extremely painful. My mother lived on Tylenol. And I think it's so funny, we can go to the moon and we're trying to get to Jupiter, but we can't solve arthritis. And so, but let's just be in prayer for Tish and what's going on with her body. And then her brother, Johnny, will know more, in fact, tomorrow, unfortunately not tonight, we'll know tomorrow a lot about the results of the test tomorrow with Johnny. So please be in prayer for Johnny Thompson, and then just keeping with the family for your prayer list. Larry Thompson, Tish's brother and Johnny's brother, has been undergoing a lot of problems, and they did an MRI and different things, and I have permission to tell. They found out that somewhere along in his life he had a concussion that he didn't know where, how, what, but he has had a concussion. They don't know if that's contributing to what's going on today, but nevertheless, be in prayer for LT. Then on another level, Judy Hintz went in this morning for a couple hours operation on her foot, and I asked John to explain to me what was going on, and he said, Herman, I can't, because I don't know it, but something about on the heel, they moved it where the heel is where it's supposed to be for the weight of her body and all. And so please be in prayer for Judy Hintz, because she's going to be down for a while. And so let's please be in prayer for Judy and John Hintz. Jordy Brown, I told you about this Sunday, but Jordy Brown has a lady that we've been praying for since the camp, named Susan Pierce, and she's about 62, and 4 years ago she had cancer and not recovered from it, but got through that, and has had 4 years, just grace given to her. And John Hintz and I, we say we're on borrowed time. I'm on borrowed time from a quadruple heart surgery, and John says he's on borrowed time, and so Susan Pierce, well, they diagnosed that she had it again, and she had to make a decision whether or not she would go through the surgery again. And so she decided she wanted to go through the surgery, and the doctor came out and said that it was, everything went smooth, as good as could have done on the operation. However, they don't know, she's got a 50-50 chance that she'll ever talk again. Well, today, her mother called Jody and said that Susan called her and was just talking better than she ever has, and more than she ever has. And so that's an answer to prayer, and it's just a miracle. There's just so many miracles. What happened with Pat's a miracle. What's happened to Susan Pierce is a miracle. And Jody, I said, and he said, well, I don't know about the miracle, but I was kind of thinking maybe I'll go into faith healing and tell everybody I healed her. And I said, well, you'll probably make the TV. And so let's continue being in prayer for Susan Pierce. Then if you got the bulletin excerpt, Barbara Hughes, a faithful listener of all of every one of our messages, and she gets everything. She lives down in San Antone. And she will have surgery on the 23rd. And so pray for skilled doctors and surgeons and our successful recovery and other health issues that Barbara Hughes is going through. Now, about how old is Barbara? 80s. Okay. It's just. And she's going to call you back and say, I'm 75. What do you mean I'm in my 80s? All right. But let's just be in prayer for Barbara Hughes. And it just, these are people that I don't know, and but yet listen to all of our lessons. And got a call today from one that listens, and they seem to be very edified by it. And then there's a Carol Hurd. Also a friend of yours, associate of yours, her husband actually knew work together. And she has an incurable disease. It's myasthenia gravis. Myasthenia gravis, an incurable disease treated only by medicine. And so we just got to pray for a calm soul and patience and strength and endurance for her at this time. And then we need to be in prayer for the Daigs there in Florida, and just pray for their safety and their safe return home, and they have a good time, but that it's safe and that they return home safely, return back here safely. Okay, that's what I had. Does anybody have any other? Yes.
Daughter, who's been...
Alicia?
Alyssa. Yeah. She's pregnant, she's not married, and she's talking about suicide again.
Oh,
okay.
Now, if you remember, we prayed about 8-9 years ago for her.
Same thing for salvation. I think I talked with her once when she was at our house, and talked to her about salvation. But she came to me and she says, "Do you know anything about the Bible?"
Well, let's see now. Where do you want to start? 1:1 or 21:2?
So my sister needs salvation as well, but I was about ready to give her John 3:16, and she quoted it to me. Okay, well, she knows the gospel. I've given it to her before.
Is this Alicia or your sister?
My sister.
Sister, okay.
So both of them, I've given both of them the gospel.
Yes.
They have not believed, and some people decide they don't want to and come up with all kinds of excuses. So, but that's whatever.
People like this, all we can do really, kids, just pray that somehow God will use this to wake her up to the need of the gospel, need of Christ.
Well, it's frustrating, it's sad, because Alyssa is adopted, and her mother was a drug addict, so essentially the cycle is completed, you might say. So here she is, into drugs, pregnant, married. She's already said, well, I'll give up the baby for adoption.
You think she will?
Wait and see.
Is that better for the baby?
Depends
on what, I mean, how badly has the baby been affected by the drugs she's been taking.
Yeah.
She does marijuana, and I know that especially in certain times in the pregnancy, when your brain is developing and they're smoking marijuana, that can really mess the brain up.
Yeah. It alters the way you think. Yeah. We'll be in prayer for Alicia, for her mother, and for the family. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
I got a verse.
All right.
My friend Johnny's going in for cataract surgery tomorrow, so he's worried.
How old is he?
He's 70.
70, okay.
This Giuliani's cousin.
Okay.
Rudy.
All right.
That's beside my friend Catherine called me up Monday morning, crying. I said, what's the matter? A longtime girlfriend and maid of honor passed away at 4:00 in the morning. Just passed away. So her husband, Jerry.
About how old was she?
She's 62.
The real woman that kept passed away?
She passed away. 4:00 Monday morning. And her husband is just devastated.
Wow.
Just bad. So Catherine's going through a lot of time right now. So I said, she has to go back.
Okay, we'll be prayer for the husband and family. Okay. Any other prayer requests?
I was just going to say,
it's not a request, but
I have a neighbor who's an agnostic, not an atheist, but an agnostic. And almost every day I have lunch with him, and the word faith gets thrown around. He'll say things like, we were talking about the thing going on Monday, the lights going out, and the eclipse.
Yeah, solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Some people are saying it's going to be the end of the world.
Well, see, the moon is moving away from the earth, and in another few thousand years it will be. I said, you believe that?
Yeah.
You accept that by faith? So we do that all the time. I said, what you're telling me is you believe in science, but by faith. He said, well, it's fact. So it's sort of fun talking about faith comes up all the time in our conversation.
I'm going to ask y'all to join me. I've been in prayer for Tom all the time. Just okay when his name comes up in my soul, and then prayer for him, and just in prayer that maybe someday somebody, that James or somebody, will say something that'll wake him up, because he's a really nice guy, and so please be in prayer for Tom. Any other prayer requests? Okay, I should everything going with your family.
Brother, younger brother. I talked to him about an hour and a half ago. He's doing, sounds great. He's
good.
Doing well.
Good.
He's had 16, 18 infusions of chemo. And
wow.
He's doing well.
Good.
A lot
very
of
good.
Prayer going up for him, and he appreciates it too.
Yeah. Good. Very good.
So appreciate that.
Good. Okay. Excuse me. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. You've got these for your prayer time, and let's begin with the word of prayer, preparing ourselves for the study of the word of God. Let us pray. We come before the throne of grace, Heavenly Father, in prayer as a joint believers. We pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth of the scriptures that we're about to look at. Father, we understand and believe, accept your word as authority in our lives. Open it up to us now today, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are in, I think just a tremendous good study. I have never really dealt with it to the degree that we've dealt with it and are dealing with it. And that is the morning or the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, he has already appeared to Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. And he has already appeared to Peter, and now he is meeting these two travelers on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. So let's open the Word of God to Luke 24. And it's just one of those things, when I started this, I had no idea of it taking this, I say long, it's like it's been burdensome, it has not been burdensome, but I had no idea it would take a couple of hours to go through this, but the things we're seeing are just remarkable, as we'll see tonight. So let's read. We left off with Jesus Christ's second question in verse 26. So let's read to that point from verse 13. And behold, two of them, believers, were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, Hot Springs, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, just a short distance from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all these things which had taken place, probably from the triumphant entry, but definitely from Wednesday's crucifixion. And they were conversing with each other about all these things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him as to who he was. And he said to them, first question, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? The question got them so much that they just stopped, stood still, looking very sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem? Remember, there are thousands and thousands of people visiting Jerusalem. This is the high Passover week. That means there's two Passovers, and it's the Passover, so there's a lot going on. Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of all the things which have happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? Actually, I guess we're being the third question, not his second, because this is the second. What things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, one is named Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, work of the Holy Spirit, and word in the sight of God and all the people, Jews. Verse 20 now is where we pick up now with the third question by Jesus Christ. Was it not, let's go to verse 26 is our quote for verse 20. And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were so hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel, giving it power over Rome. Indeed, besides all this, a third day since these things have happened. But also, along with all of this, some women among us, so we trust them, amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, this very morning, and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and that's talking about probably John and Peter, and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see. And verse 25, and he said to them, this is Jesus Christ speaking, oh, foolish men. Now this really means non-thinking. You non-thinking men. So we know there's two men on the road. And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Now you remember that we dealt here with the idea of believing in him from Acts to believing in what the prophets wrote about him. Verse 26 now is our study. Was it not necessary? There's your key word in this verse. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things, which you've just talked about, being rejected, crucified, all that, and enter into his glory? Now, this the way he words it, in the Greek, expects a positive answer. Now, why was it necessary? Jesus Christ puts this in the form of a question to get them to start talking. He will teach them in a few moments. We'll see it. He'll start teaching. But before you can teach people, you've got to have them thinking. Got to get them thinking. So he wants to get their mind going. So he startles them into start thinking. You non-thinking Jews, think. They should have known this. Galatians 3 says the same thing. Non-thinking Galatians. You receive Jesus Christ by faith. How do you think you're going to receive the Holy Spirit? Also by faith. You're not thinking. You got to think. Okay? Was it not necessary? In other words, inevitable. First, because it is prophesied by God throughout your prophets. I'm telling you this, what he said. This is necessary because it's prophesied by God by the prophets in your writings in the Old Testament. God cannot lie. So it's absolutely necessary because God said it's going to happen. Secondly, it is absolutely necessary, for this is the price of redemption of mankind. At this point, we should study Isaiah 53. but let's move on because we have already studied that. Now, look back at their assessment. Look back at verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him, that's the cross, but we were hoping. Now, they omitted the most important necessity of God the Father. And that is, we saw this in Isaiah 53, verse 10. God was pleased to crush him. They leave that out. They left it out here. It was necessary because God the Father has a plan for our salvation. And this plan involves the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. This was the introduction to the fact that he would rise again and fulfill their hope. They had that hope. So we read that. He will fulfill it. They're not wrong there. But the cross before the crown. Their hope was indeed on solid ground. They just didn't realize it. It didn't work out the way they thought it would work out. And how we are not all like that sometimes. This isn't working out the way I planned it, the way I thought it would work out. And therefore we become discouraged. You've got to trust him. Don't superimpose your plan on God's plan. He has a plan. You and I just live according to that plan and take each day as we have it in trusting him. So, their hope was indeed on solid ground. They just didn't realize it. It's like a person saying, I hope I go to heaven. And then they come down and find out they have level 5, stage 5 of cancer. Well, I got cancer, I guess I'm not going to go to heaven. What? You got to die before you can go to heaven. It used to be an old joke. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. You got to die before you go to heaven. Now, we know the rapture generation, but that's a unique fraternity of people. Okay, so where does this come from? Look back at verse 25. Look back at verse 25, see where Christ's words come from. Note carefully. Believe all. That word that speed readers read right past. All that the prophets have spoken. Most of the Jewish rabbis, teachers, and therefore most of the people, they knew and believed all that prophesied about the Messiah would redeem Israel. That's what they were taught, and that's what they were looking for. That's what they're looking for today. That's what they're looking for today. Free it from Rome. Redeem Israel. Make it a great nation again. Make it the ruling nation of the world. They ignored all that was prophesied about his suffering, about what was going to happen. The Isaiah 53 study and many other passages that they just overlooked. I had to battle. I spent most of the day on studying what happened at the triumphal entry, where Jesus Christ came riding in on a donkey, and they said, Hosanna, and all this. They left out part of Psalm 118. They left out the suffering part. They just, either one, were not caught, two, ignored that part. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things, and to enter into his glory? Okay, let's look at Exodus 12. Got to have your Bibles tonight. Exodus 12. Exodus 12. And let's look at verse 46. Exodus 12, 46. I'm sorry? Okay. Exodus 12, 46. It is to be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. Now, got that little verse in there. Now let's take a look at Numbers 9. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers 9, verse 12. They shall leave none of it until morning. nor break a bone of it, according to all the statute of the Passover, they shall observe it. This is talking about the lamb, the Passover lamb. So they have an understanding of the suffering. They understood all of this. Now, that this is understood throughout, let's take a look at Psalm 34. If you think I'm pushing it, look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 20. Psalm 34, 20. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Okay. He'll be accused by false witnesses, which comes under Cleopas' words, all these things. He'll be accused by false witnesses, all these things. Let's look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, just a few pages back. Verse 12. Psalm 27, verse 12. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathed out violence. People, they knew all these things were going to happen. Let's look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 11. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. Now, let's go to the New Testament, understanding all of this prophecy. Let's look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 60. And they did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward. Two that would agree. They made up their mind in privacy that they would do this. Let's look at Mark 14. Mark 14, 55. Mark 14, 55 through 61. Mark 14, 55. Now the chief priest and the whole council, the Sanhedrin, kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death. And they were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against him, and yet their testimony was not consistent. I mean, just imagine their turmoil. And some stood up and began to give false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build up another made without hands." And not even in respect was their testimony consistent. Okay. 60. And the high priest stood up, came forward, questioned Jesus, saying, Do you make no answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" And I love Christ here. He just remained silent. I'd have said, "Well, what have they said that they agree on?" But he didn't do that. He wasn't catty. That would have been catty. But he kept silent, made no answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, "Are you the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Blessed?" That means the Son of God. And of course he remains silent. Now, we got a lot of details in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. For an example, they know all of this. These two men on the road. He is to be beaten and spat upon. Look at Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Hope you're taking good notes or you'll have this information. Isaiah 50. Fulfillment of Scripture dealing with Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50, verse 6. Isaiah 50, 6. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Want to see the fulfillment? Look at Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22, begin reading in verse 63. And the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who hit you? And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming him. That isn't enough for you. Let's take a look. Hang on a tree. That's pretty graphic, because they didn't do this in the Old Testament time. Hang on a tree, but not all night. Not only would he hang on a tree, but not all night. Look at Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. We'll begin reading in verse 22. And if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. All right? Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, New Testament verification. Galatians 3, written after the crucifixion of Christ. Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law. No. Galatians 3:13, I'm sorry. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. They know all of this. They witnessed these things happening. This should have verified all of these things to them. Now let's talk about how minute of detail they should have known, and they did know. He was thirsty during his execution. He was thirsty during his execution. Let's look at Psalm 22, that famous psalm. Psalm 22. I was reading this, and so long since I've studied Psalm 22 with you, we got to go over it sometime. It fits right in with Psalm 21 and 23. Psalm 22, verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. This is your Savior on the cross. And thou dost lay me in the dust of death. Fulfillment? Look at John 19. Gospel of John, chapter 19. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I am thirsty. Why did he say that? In order that the Old Testament Scriptures might be fulfilled. They know the Old Testament Scriptures, and they heard his words at the cross, that they might be fulfilled. He would be struck on the head. Let's look at Micah 5. Micah 5. I'd better if I typed all this up instead of having to do my own, but I said, I want to turn pages with them. So let's pick up Micah chapter 5, and let's look at verse 1. Micah 5, 1. Now, muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. That's Jesus Christ. So there's the prophecy. Was it fulfilled? Look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 30. And they spat on him, took the reed, and began to beat him on the head. This is your Savior. This is what Jesus Christ did and for you and me. Now, this wasn't the payment of salvation, but it is the debt, the suffering that he had to experience on the cross. Okay? That isn't enough? Another prophecy. Have his hands and feet pierced. Have his hands and feet pierced. Look at Psalm 22 again. Psalm 22, 16. Psalm 22, 16. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. People, any one of these, okay. But you start adding them all up. You should have said, wait a minute. There's this. There's the piercing of his hands and feet. I saw that happening to Jesus Christ. Look at John 19. John 19. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. He didn't bleed to death. And he who was seen bore witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again another Scripture, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Old Testament prophecy fulfilled in this person hanging on the cross. Look at John 20. John 20, verse 25. The other disciple, let's read from the word stars, story starts, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I shall see in his hands and the imprint of the nails and put my fingers into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. It has been stated that Thomas was the first person from Missouri. Got to show me. He was the founder of the state of Missouri. I don't know how accurate that is. And after 8 days, again his disciples were inside. This time Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst. He walked right through the wall. Peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, reach your fingers. He wasn't there when Thomas said it, but he knows Thomas said it. This is beautiful. Reach here, your finger, and see my hands. And reach here your hand, and put it on my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered, and by the way, you're getting ready to read the greatest declaration since the resurrection of Christ by anyone. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." None of the ladies said it. Not Peter, not John. Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who will not see and yet believe." That's you and me. You and I have not seen it, but we believe it. Will he have the scars in the resurrected body? I believe he will. That's why we have it here. He's in his resurrected body. I believe he will have it when we see him at the rapture or at our own personal death, whichever occurs first. Now, got this, got more that they should have been able to put together. Soldiers would cast lots for his coat. Now how, if you think about things that are going to, you prophesy, I mean, being hit, okay, that happens to a lot. But the things, just keep adding them up. Have soldiers cast lot for his coat. Oh, Psalm 22, you know how to find that? Psalm 22, verse 18. "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Fulfill? Yeah. Let's look at Luke 23. We're in Luke 24 in our study, so let's look at Luke 23, which, of course, these two men know. Luke 23, verse 34. "But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves." Fulfillment of Scripture. Another one that is just amazing that it would be recorded. "Be given gall and vinegar and sour wine." Let's take a look. This time, look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69. You know, we didn't go all this when we studied the crucifixion of Christ. I'm going to make the statement, I think it'd be impossible to study everything at one time, be able to hit it all. And now we go back and hit some more. And later on, we'll probably hit more and more and more. Okay? Psalm 69, verses 20 through 22. Psalm 69, 20. "Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food. And for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. May their table before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap." May that peace become a trap. Fulfilled? Look at Luke 23. Chapter before our study. Luke 23. One verse, verse 36. "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him the sour wine." Okay, it just keeps building. And by the way, I'm not going into anywhere near all of their prophecies. These are just some of the blatant ones to show you what these two men should have known. They weren't taught by the rabbi. That's what we're seeing on Sunday morning. It's so important who you listen to, the teaching of the Word of God. "They'd be numbered and crucified with transgressors." Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Yeah, Isaiah 53, 12. "Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great after the resurrection. And he will divide the booty with the strong. We studied what that means. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Two thieves are crucified with him. And he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Let's look again at Luke 23. Matthew, Mark, Luke 23. Luke 23, 32 and 33. And two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right, and the other on his left. So that prophecy is fulfilled. And they knew it. They knew it. You're not thinking, men. You know these things, and you're not thinking how they happen. One more that I have to cover with the one we just studied. He will be numbered and crucified with transgressors. The last one we're going to look at. But he will be buried with the rich. He will be buried with the rich. He will not be thrown into potter's grave. He will not be thrown into Gehenna. He will be buried in the rich man with the rich man. Isaiah 53:9. Isaiah 53, verse 9. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death. Joseph of Arimathea had a beautiful little carved out grave, and it's where he was buried, not where they threw the other two criminals in Gehenna. Gehenna is in the southern part of Israel. It's a gully. It's where you throw all your trash. And they took bodies and threw them out there. That's what should have happened to him. Didn't happen. That's why the marvel of this prophecy. Let's look at Matthew 27. Not Luke, but Matthew. Matthew 27. Let's start reading in verse 57. And when it was evening, there came a rich man. From Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. He was a believer. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given over to him. And Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a linen, clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against it, the entrance of the tomb, and went away. Judith and I, we were in Israel. In fact, every time I've been, the two times I've been there, we've gone to what is called the Garden Tomb. Now, don't know if that's where Christ was buried, but I guarantee, did you go there, Eve? Yeah. I guarantee you it was like that. If that isn't it, it is like that. Just a nice garden tomb right here, cut into it, a door lower than that, about that wide. And right over here was the stone, the skull, and it's still partly there. And a garden was also there, all of which is prophesied and talked about in Scripture. Okay, so we have all of these and many other Old Testament prophecies of his suffering. Over 30 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning just the suffering of the death of the Messiah, his death. But most of the Jews, including the rabbis, Jewish leaders, ignored these passages that dealt with the sufferings of Christ and therefore rejected them and did not think, did not put Scripture together. They did not understand. Cross has come before the crown. And then, as Christ said in our passage, into his glory. death, resurrection, ascension. And one they knew ever so well is Psalm 118. Now, you owe me 3 minutes. I'm going to close because I don't want to get into this. This is too beautiful. I'm not going to cram it into just a couple of minutes. But in your time over the next week, I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you when you're alone, perhaps, maybe down, maybe joyful, thinking about God, thinking about Christ, I challenge you to read Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. They're not long. Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. These are classified as the praise psalms. They are quoted by memory at the Passover by the Jews and at various feasts. They are the praise psalms. And I just cannot encourage you between now and next Wednesday night that if you have some time alone, maybe you're like Judith, you wake up at 3 in the morning, I don't know how she does it, but just then get a Bible and read Psalm 113 to 118. Just think about it as you read it. Let the Holy Spirit open your eyes to see what's being said in these phenomenal psalms. Well, we'll begin here next Wednesday night and study what they should have been able to say at the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ. I hope you've enjoyed what we've done tonight, looked at prophecies, and saw how they were fulfilled by your Savior on the cross and in His death, verifying the understanding that God can prophesy history accurately. No one else can do this. Isaiah 43 says, who can tell you the past, the present, and the future, and explain the past to you? You can't even do that, Satan. I can tell you the past, and then cause you to understand it, and tell you the future. And so, people, we have all the confidence in the world. Here's our hope, confidence, comfort, that when we die, we'll be face to face with Christ. And therefore, we can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and die is gain. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we go through and read these passages, we can only read them, vision in our mind's eye, what happened on the cross. But Heavenly Father, where we find our comfort is that You were pleased to do all these things to Him if He would freely give Himself for us, and He did. He is the reason we live, not for things, not for people, but for Jesus Christ. Father, I pray the Spirit can use these things we've seen tonight, bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.